Lancer Radio Network. LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Hello, welcome to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Carlos Urebe and Joshua Bonilla. Our very special guest this afternoon is world-renowned vocalist, songwriter, violinist, and recording artist who has sold over 450 million albums worldwide. Shankar, everybody. This is Lancer Radio Network streaming live at LancerRadio.org.
Well, welcome everybody to the Music Forum. We have with us in the studio a very special guest today, a man who has revolutionized the music industry with his fusion of Euro, American, and Indian music, a composer, conductor, producer, world-renowned vocal artist, and celebrated violinist. Shankar is here with us in the studio today. Very welcome, Shankar.
Welcome to the studio.
Hi, it's great to be here. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
It's so great. Well, you know, we want to definitely give our listening audience a little background so that they know Mr. Shankar, who is needs no introduction, but he is an Indian-born violinist as well as a vocalist. He plays many, many different instruments. He came here to the United States in the early 1960s after receiving a bachelor's degree in physics. And he came to the United States to study music at Wesleyan University. Obviously, he's one of five siblings. All his siblings are proficient in music, very talented musicians, and his mother and father as well. To give you an idea, he started singing at age two. He started playing the violin at age five, and he started playing the drums at age seven. Shankar, welcome. We just want to know, what were your earliest, what was it like as a young boy, and how was it with your family growing up in India and having such a musical family?
My father was a great musician, like singer, violinist, and my mom was a great singer and veena player. And he had like six children. I'm the last one. And he had so many disciples and musicians, and we had lots of shows and always performing and touring. Always there was music around, like all the time, from the morning till late night. So there was, I was around music all the time, pretty much.
And you said all your siblings played some sort of instrument, and you were the youngest head of five or six, was it?
Six.
Correct. And how was that? I know you had to look at them as like inspirations. Was it competition? Did you want to play the same instrument, or how did you pick your calling?
One good thing was that because I played all the different instruments, and I'm mainly a singer, so I could, whatever is needed. So I was the youngest one, so I could just be a combination of whatever they needed, yeah.
That's really awesome. Wow. That's really awesome.
Now, you know, something very interesting, and I wanted to ask you about this. I know you mentioned that an early inspiration of yours was Tyagaraja. I was wondering if you could tell our listening audience about who Tyagaraja was.
Tyagaraja was a great composer. He's more like equivalent to like Mozart or Beethoven or things like that. 200 years ago, there are like three main composers. They are called Trinity composers, like Tyagaraja, Muthuswami, Deekshithar, and Shyama Shastri. They are like over 200 years ago. They were like great composers. You know, they helped the South Indian music, classical music.
Right. So you have your bachelor's degree in physics. You're in India, and you decide to come to the United States.
And by the way, and at what age did you get your bachelor's degree in physics?
Oh my God!
I believe because I have it down here at age 19, and that is not only are you a genius at composing, at songwriting, vocalist, but you also got your physics degree in 19. And most people would just stop and be like, "Hey, here's my career. This is where I'm going." But no, you decided to chase your passion with music.
Actually, I was doing really well, playing a lot, established like in India. But my father wanted a backup field, you know. So I never liked a backup thing because always I was doing well in music. So I just wanted to get out of there so I can do only music.
So
that's why I left, yeah.
Oh, wow.
At what point did you decide? What point did you say, you know what, I want to make music my profession, my love?
I was a professional musician at the time already, but if I would have ended up there, they wanted me to be an engineer, you know, which take like 7 years, a waste of time, you know, unless somebody's into it. And but one good thing was, since I was the last youngest one at the time, early teens, I'm not the one who's supporting the family, whereas my eldest brother couldn't have left because he was supporting a lot of the family too, you know. So right. They said, okay, you go. No.
So you come here to the United States in 1969.
Yeah, correct.
And you attend Wesleyan University in Connecticut. And you were actually pursuing your doctorate at that point.
Yeah, actually, I came there. I was teaching Indian music and world music there. And plus, I was pursuing my doctorate thing because I needed to get, I applied for a green card at the time, and which takes a few years, you know, 2 or 3 years. And so university was a good situation, and it gave you a little time, you know. And so it was great that as soon as I got my green card, then I finished my doctorate, and then I moved to New York City.
And you got your doctorates in those ethnomusicology.
Yes, correct.
And you know, in the research, you know, I found that this was seems to be a very pivotal time in your life with regards to your music. This was the point where you met many of the artists who at the time were like yourself, just starting off in the industry or in music. And one of these, Ornette Coleman and John McLaughlin and Jimmy Garrison, these people
who you would later
go on to produce some amazing music with, and even to this day are still working with and doing very much involved with. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Yeah, I think because a lot of the time for me, when you're struggling, I don't see it as struggle, that's a challenge. So when I left India, the first time I came to America, I had only like $7.50 in my pocket, because that's when they allowed for exchange rate. But I don't see, like, one of my songs, like Never Take No for an Answer, you know, the things like that, all these things I don't take no for an answer. You have to find a way, whatever challenges are there. So if it's more challenges, it's even better for me, yeah.
So you were working with Clifford Thornton, who was the assistant director of world music there, and he developed a tour series. You guys were going around the world playing music and sharing your music with people around the world. Can you with some of these people? These obviously now are very famous musicians in their own right. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Clifford Thornton was a great man. No, like, it was much senior to me and everything else. He took me like a younger brother. He would take me to New York City and everything else, hang out. No. And but I didn't know at the time he was involved with the Black Panther too. No,
oh.
I didn't know that.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that's a different side of the story, you know. And I was just innocent. No, I just went there. Everybody was just getting high, you know, like playing. I met Archie Shepp. Different thing, different time. No,
but yeah, most definitely.
And I was just around, you know, like seeing their life, how they. I met Ornette Coleman, all these guys, you know, but they went through so much and done so much for the music.
And you guys were like performing at the United Nations. I think you had mentioned you did.
Yeah.
Wow. Goodness gracious. How was that?
Yeah.
What was that?
How was that experience at the United Nations?
United Nations was really great because it's nice. I met lots of different musicians too. You know, we used to put together a world music orchestra. Right. And so we went there. It was fun to see there. Otherwise, I've seen it only from outside. You know, so it was great to go. At that time, it was Hugh Thornt, who was a general, assembly general. And so we get to go inside and play. It was nice, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
I was like a kid. No? I was like a kid. No?
So,
but I wish there was an iPhone or photos. We couldn't take any of them those days.
Oh, yeah. Really? They wouldn't let you? They wouldn't. So in 1975... yourself and John McLaughlin decide to form Shakti, and which, again, it was ethno-American. It was a blend of ethno-American and Indian music, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Which and I believe we have a sample of a track from India. Let's take a listen to that.
Thank you.
So you're listening to India. This was from your. This was from the album. One of the albums from Shakti that you performed, John McLaughlin. In the United States, we're so familiar with these very common meters like 2/4 and 4/4 and 3/4. And these particular pieces are obviously very complex, and they involve some very interesting alternating time signatures and things of that sort. Can you tell us, what is it like, and how did you work together, and what did you do to create this music?
Actually, John used to come to Wesleyan University. He was learning like Veena from one of the teachers, and I met him. Then when I talked to him, and he's a really great guitar virtuoso, incredible guitarist, amazing guitarist. And then we were talking about it because instead of, I asked him to, hey, are you trying to play Veena, like Indian music, or you're a great guitar virtuoso, so in that case you could adopt your music in your own instrument, which will be a lot more picker, you know. And then we started writing, you know, like very, very quickly, and within a very short time we started performing at the time. Very quickly, yeah. And then soon before we went on tour, no, world tour and things like that.
Were there any other musicians that were working with you in the group, or was it exclusively you two?
It's both of us. We wrote all the music together, and we had a great tabla player, Zakir Hussain, unbelievable tabla player. And there was originally a mridangam player, which is a South Indian drums called Ragaman. And then later there was Vinayakram, Bhikkhu Vinayakram, who's a clay pot player, great, great clay pot player. He came and joined us.
Oh, wow. Now, you say the clay pots, so that's actually what we're hearing there in the music, these kind of oscillations that are going on.
Yeah, correct. That's clay pot.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. And so how long, how many albums did you put out?
We put out like 3 albums. That group lasted like for 3 years.
Wow. And just some amazing music that you had. So you're on tour. You're at this point, you're touring around the world. And you get a call. One day you get a call from none other than Frank Zappa. He calls you and says, hey, he says, we need to get together. And he asked you to get a lawyer and an agent and whatnot. Can you tell us? It was a wonderful story about how...
Actually, I met him on the backstage. I used to perform in a lot of like festivals in Europe, which like Black Sabbath and Genesis with Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins and Joan Baez, a whole lot of artists, you know, like different things. And I met Frank on the backstage and he said, hey, do you have an agent or a manager? I said, no. He said, get one. No, I would love to sign you, you know. Like, then he had just starting the new label, the Zappa label, Frank Zappa label.
And if I'm not mistaken, were you the first one signed to Frank Zappa's label?
Yeah, Zappa label at the time. And then he produced my record, the Touch Me There album.
Absolutely. And, you know, we actually do have a sample of that Touch Me There album and that the song titled Knee Deep in Heaters. I was wondering if we can go ahead and run that.
Yeah, correct.
Dead Girls of London. Okay, so yeah, let's hear that track.
Can you see what they are? Do you hear what they say? People, it is sad but true. They're just really stupid, but they think they're okay, and they got no use for you. All the dead girls of London, why do they act that way?
Pasadena City College School of Visual Media and Performing Arts presents Lore and Behold, the Art of Carole Karopampis and Pierrette Picot, Take Me There. Both shows run from October 7th, November 6th, 2015 in Bone Gallery and Gallery V. That is the Art of Control Camp Car Campus, and this is at the end of November. The PCC's Learning Assistance Center is a partnership with Smart Thinking, is offering free online tutoring services to students 24 hours a day, 8 days, 7 a week. The services allow students to upload screenshots, pictures, or a PDF of a problem into virtual whiteboard that can be accessed by both the student and tutor. For more information about LAC's free online tutoring service, contact Arkvava Scott at 626-585-7380. One more time, that was 626-585-7380.
In 1977, in Johannesburg, South Africa, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. By the age of 9, he was already outplaying him. The odds of that same boy then making it to the US and European pro golf tours? 1 in 7 million. The odds of the Big Easy winning the Open Championship once and the U.S. Open Championship twice, 1 in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. Ernie Els encourages you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Are you anxious, frustrated, or just feeling down? Stop by Psychological Services and talk to a counselor. We are committed to helping students cope with the transitions of adulthood by increasing their awareness, knowledge, and resources. We attempt to meet each student at his or her need level, whether in a crisis situation, experiencing an exacerbation of a long-standing problem, or anticipating forthcoming changes. The Psychological Services Program helps students to handle the stresses of college life. Learning to master these challenges will enhance the student's psychological, educational, and career development while at PCC and long after. Stop by L108 or call 626-585-7273. We are here to help.
Laxer Radio Network.
Radio Network.
Pasadena Campus Sounds.
Streaming live 24/7
at LaxerRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Joshua Boni and Carlos Urebe. Joining us today is world-renowned vocalist, violinist, and composer Shankar. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Yes, absolutely. We have Shankar here in the Pasadena studios, and he's here to promote his new album, Transcend, featuring DJ Delisovic. Can you tell us a little bit about this new album that we're hearing some of the tracks from?
These are like progressive house and trance tracks. I know Dali Sovich is an incredible, very talented DJ and track maker, and was a wonderful DJ all over Europe. He always is performing. So I've known him over like 4 years. And so we have been collaborating together. And so this album is totally about 10 tracks with both of us, you know. And all these tracks. So there are 8 tracks of progressive house and 2 of them on trance. Yeah.
Absolutely. They're absolutely beautiful. You know, the lyrics themselves, they're very, very spiritual, very introspective. And you know, I know we talked about that earlier, about some of your inspirations, and I know that they deal with things like love and introspective reflection. And can you share a little bit of that with us?
Yeah, a lot of the time for me, like some of them are from my own personal experiences, or it's from someone I know, or things what's going on around me, you know. So it's all for communicating, and I get, since I travel so much around the world, I take good things from a lot of the places, and it's very nice to pass it on to people. It's more a positive album, you know, like have different energy so it can bring you up.
Absolutely, and these songs definitely get you going. You know, so before we went on break, we were talking with Shankar about his work with Frank Zappa and the 1979 album "Dead Girls of London," the song that was playing How was it working with Frank?
Frank is a genius, and was amazing. One of the most incredible musicians, just like for centuries, you know. Like, and he not only knew like rock or classical. He's an amazing classical artist, orchestral work, and his music is very complex and lots of humor. Very intelligent man. You know? Like, he's very ahead of his time.
What was the recording process like? I know Frankie. He was known in the music industry for being an absolute perfectionist. This gentleman, yeah. So many people didn't realize that he was a very accomplished musician. He wrote orchestral pieces throughout his career from the very beginning. Can you share that working with someone with that talent?
He was really amazing, incredible, but always he was very nice to me. And what happened was, like, even when we were in England, I rehearsed the band. The band was a great band. Simon Phillips, who was a drummer from Toto, he worked with like Pete Townsend and a whole lot of people. And the guitarist that worked with Eric Clapton, bass player, all these things, very established players. We had rehearsed for 1 week, and the next day the recording was starting. So I told Frank, I said, "Hey, Frank, you have to be there at least for 1 day rehearsal, because all these guys are really in awe of you, you know. So when we start the recording, the music, they won't be as relaxed." And he said, "Oh, okay, I'll come." So we have set up rehearsal time. All the musicians are so much in awe. And like Frank also had his bodyguard with him. Now, always he has a bodyguard with him. So after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he had to be careful, you know, because these lyrics and different kind of things. I remember just prior to that, a while ago in England, one jealous boyfriend kind of hopped up on the stage and pulled him down. So he fell through a few feet and broke his leg, and it was on cast and things like that. No?
Wow. That,
and but anyway, like, it was such an incredible musician. No? Like,
that is absolutely amazing. And so he worked with you. He worked with you on. He produced the track for
you.
He
produced the track and he wrote some lyrics. He also sang the song you just heard, "Dead Girls of London," that Frank Zappa singing.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
So we both sang and wrote lyrics, all kind of stuff. Yeah.
Wow. So now, 1980 rolls around, and you come out with a new album. You decide that you need to create your own instrument. Something inspires you to create this instrument, and it was. Let me make sure I get this right. The 10-string stereophonic double violin, which you contracted Ken Parker to build for you. Can you share? And you actually played on this album. Can you share that with us? Tell us about that.
Yeah, because during the Frank Zappa, when he produced my album for Touch Me There album, I used to overdub different instruments with different ranges like viola, cello, double bass, and all those kind of stuff. So while we were starting to play live in big festivals and everything else, it was very difficult to take different instruments. That means you have to have so many different sound checks and pickups and all this kind of stuff. So I was trying to invent an instrument which has a whole orchestral range. And that's how that came about. And that can produce like keyboard sound, guitar sound, flute sounds, and all orchestra range. And the first time I used it was on the album called Who's to Know on my solo album. And I also used that on the Phil Collins first solo debut album, Face Value, like In the Air and all those songs. Yeah.
In the Air, and of course, yeah, In the Air with Phil Collins.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely. And that, I believe, is one of the 10 top songs of all time. It was rated by Billboard. Was that? It's a very, very, of course, everyone knows that. And it's dumbfounding to think that, you know, you had this, you wanted to design your own instrument.
Yeah, out of curiosity, what created the idea to create a 10-string double violin? Like, how'd that come about in the task, Ken, to even create that instrument?
Because of the range, too, no? And also it's electric.
Okay, makes a lot of sense.
Because of the whole range and all the different things it can do. And so soon, I can just plug in, so it's no problem. In any way, you're playing in a big audience. Because sometimes we were performing an outdoor huge festival for over like 100,000 people. So many times, if you're playing in a big festival with like Black Sabbath, all these guys.
Yeah.
And so they have to take all the good frequencies of the violins. So eventually it'll sound very trebly, you know. But whereas I could get a fat violin sound, a very warm, you know. Absolutely. So I use the same instrument for all projects, yeah.
Wow.
And Ken Parker is incredible. He's a genius, you know. He built the instrument for me.
Wow. How long did it take him to build that instrument?
I remember the in the, I think, 34th Street, all the music stores in, like Manny's, all these stores are there in New York City. The owner, Stuyvesant, I tried like Gibson Guitar and all these kind of guys. They said, no, we can't do it. This won't work. This won't work. I said, this won't work for you, no? That's all. But it'll work for me, no? Yeah, and I had to pursue somebody else. Then when I met Stuyvesant, he's a wonderful man. He's the owner of the store, guitar store. And he told me that I'll give you my best worker for you for 2 months. Then I used to go there every day, like 10 o'clock in the morning, and stay there till 8 o'clock and go through all these working process. But Ken Parker, and he was building it. No, it was fantastic. Yeah.
And it's so unfortunate that this is radio, because this is an absolutely magnificently beautiful instrument. If you've had an opportunity to see it, and it's unique to you, it's something that's
beautiful. Yeah.
So in 1982, you found the Epidemics, your first band.
Yeah, actually, I don't know whether it was my first band around that time, because I was touring a lot and came back to, I was living in New York City, so I found a bunch of like musicians. The drummer was like, he's the brother of Warren Cucurulo, who was a guitarist from Frank Zappa, and also he was
Steve
Missing
Vai,
Persons.
Yeah.
And all these guys, and Steve I also played on the album. So a bunch of musicians we know. It was great to play in many of these clubs and everything else, you know, like, and perform, and it was a great time. Yeah.
Wow, and you know, we actually have a track from one of their albums, Never Take No for an Answer, which you were just talking about earlier. Let's take a listen to that. Listening to Never Take No for an Answer, and of course, was it your mantra? never take no for an answer. And I know that you mentioned that Steve Vai was a guitarist for Frank Zappa, and in fact, you had something great to do with it. Actually, you were working with him at the time, or you knew him.
Yeah,
right?
Actually, he used to transcribe some of my music for the album I did for Frank Zappa, and I met him in the backstage and things like that. He used to come to my concerts with Frank Zappa too, no? And then we met, and he's such an incredible guitarist. Already I heard about him. He was in his teens, and then he came and auditioned for my band. Actually, I was making a record. Then he ended up playing the whole album on the Epidemics at the time. Then he went and joined afterwards. Then he went. One day he came and told me, hey, I'm auditioning for going to LA for auditioning for David Lee Roth. I said, it's great. Please go there. Because right then, I think Van Halen has broken up. Mm-hmm. And I said, it'll be great for you to go. No, it's incredible. No, like,
wow.
Yeah.
So I know you worked with Peter Gabriel, and he was a lead singer for Genesis. And how was that? Just working?
Obviously, in 1988, mm-hmm. he calls you, and he was, Scorsese was working on.
I've known actually Peter from the 70s, mid-70s, because while I was working, I met him in concert in the same festivals, but one day I was in Phil Collins' house working arrangement, working for his solo album, The Face Value. That's when Peter called him. And then Phil said, hey, Shankar is here, you know? Mm-hmm. So Peter said, I would love to talk to him. So we reconnected again. Then, since then, I did a lot of stuff. I was involved with WOMAD, his music and dance, and the organization he formed. And then we did lots of shows, and I've been involved with him for many of his albums. And to that, going into Martin Scorsese's Last Temptation of Christ, which I've done lots of vocals on it. We wrote a lot of stuff together, things like that.
So he calls you and asks, he says, hey, I'm working with Martin Scorsese on this film. I'd like you to come in and record. What was that like? I mean, for those of you who are familiar with Martin Scorsese, his music,
but
he's very music-oriented.
We're going to have to get back on that topic.
Absolutely.
At the moment, but just for the audience who doesn't know, at the moment we have the man who has revolutionized the music industry with fusion, Euro-American, and Indian music. We'll be right back, but this is Pasadena Sound streaming live. The Pasadena City College Learning Assistance Center is in partnership with Smart Thinking, Inc. is offering free online tutoring services for students, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The service allows students to upload screenshots, pictures, or PDF of a problem into a virtual whiteboard that can be accessed by both the student and tutor. For more information about ALEC's free online tutoring center, contact Arkvofa Scott at 626-585-7380. One more time, that was 626-585-7830. Pasadena City College School of Visual Media and Performing Arts presents Lore and Behold, The Art on Carol Compass and Pierre Piercott, Take Me There. Both shows run from October 7th, November 6th, 2015 in the Bone Gallery and Gallery V.
Hey, did you know there's a free shuttle service available for students who wish to travel between the PCC main campus, the Allen Avenue Gold Line Station, and the Community Education Center? The shuttle service operates Monday through Thursday, 6:30 a.m. to 10:45 p.m., and Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:45 p.m., with departures every 15 to 30 minutes from each location. The main campus shuttle stop is located on the north side of the campus between lots 6 and 7. The Community Education Center shuttle stop is located in Lot C at the north end. The shuttle can be met curbside at the Allen Avenue Gold Line Station. We pride ourselves in providing a safe and comfortable ride for our passengers. For more information, please contact Peter Benson, the shuttle supervisor, at 626-585-7223. PASS, the Program for Academic Support Services, is a federal program funded by the U.S. Department of Education, designed to increase the retention, graduation, and transfer rates of students who are low income or the first in their family to go to college. There are numerous programs and services offered to ensure student success, as well as field trips to four-year colleges and cultural and educational activities. The PASS staff provides personalized guidance to participants and offers a friendly and supportive environment that includes frequent contacts and follow-ups throughout their academic journey. If you are committed to obtaining your associate's degree or transferring to get your bachelor's degree and you need academic support, visit the PASS office in D122 or call 626-585-7815.
Lancer Radio Network. Radio Network. LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Joshua Bonilla and Carlos Urebe. Joining us this afternoon, a music icon, scholar, and humanitarian, The Shankar. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Shankar is here with us live in our Lancer Radio Network studios. He's promoting his new electronic dance album, Transcend, featuring DJ Dalisovic, in a Lancer Radio exclusive interview. Right now, you're listening to a cut from...
It's Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, from The Last Temptation of Christ, my apologies. And this is Open.
Open, yeah, correct.
Open, correct.
And how was that, more or less, making this soundtrack and working with Peter Gabriel and that entire experience overall? Because I know you guys are two genius artists working together, and this was a Grammy-nominated song, was it not?
Grammy Award-winning.
Yeah,
yes.
Correct.
Grammy Award-winning.
Award-winning.
Yeah. Actually, Peter and I have worked a lot together, so we know our styles. Mm-hmm. And he lived in England. I lived in New York at the time, so we used to send back and forth. And so Peter was in England at the time, but Martin Scorsese was in the studio, like in New York City, playing the movie for me and explaining me. So I was writing the vocal lines and things like that and working.
Wow.
And it'll go back to Peter and different things, you know. Like,
how was it like working with him on the album? What types of, how was the interaction? How did you create the music?
He had a great vision. He's such an incredible, legendary director, and he was so smart, and he had many of these ideas at some time. Good to hear from him. He might say maybe he wants it a little more sadder, or maybe more heroic, or things like that, depending on the scene, no? And so pretty much he left me, so I would just improvise, write the stuff, and sing, and he'd say, oh, wow, that's great, keep continuing, or maybe have that more over here, or a little more sadder, or things like that, more the emotions, what fits in, what he saw with the movie, you know?
Just very, you listen to the music and it's very emotional. I know that we were speaking about some of the scenes in the movie, particularly when he's being beaten and whipped, and how that affected your creative process. And can you explain that to us?
That was very difficult not to see so many times. I know I worked on like 2 Jesus movies.
Absolutely.
Last Temptation of Christ with Martin Scorsese, and the later.
And then 2004 with Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Which will definitely.
And that had a lot more beating, you know, like, and so it's very hard. And sometimes when you're looking at it, when you're writing, it's fine. Or singing, improvising. Initially, we are taping to get the ideas. Then when I do the final takes, so you have to control so you're not crying. Because if you're crying, then you can't sing properly, you know, like.
It's very emotional. And in 1994, you won a Grammy Award for that film, for the production. Oh, gosh. Now, in 1996, there was a piece you were working on, Raga Aberi, a 1995 album, and that was also Grammy nominated.
Correct.
Yeah. We have an excerpt of that, and go ahead and play that for us. Now this is you performing on the double violin.
The double violin, yeah, correct.
Now how was this? What was your process? How did you develop this music? Can you share that with our listening audience?
That's more based on like Indian classical music, but it's all my original music I wrote, which is on a 603-quarter beats cycle, a complex cycle. And that album had 2 of my performers I performed a lot with. They're both amazing, like Zakir Hussain on tabla and Bhikkhu Vinay Kram on clay part. The same guys who work with me with Shakti, too.
Absolutely. So yeah. this was an opportunity for you guys to get together again.
We have done a lot of touring through the years, you know, in different combinations. And so that was, that album is based on like more like classical music.
Right.
But very open, so it's...
Well, absolutely. Now, you in 1996, you got together with another a fellow violinist, Ginger, in Shankar and Ginger, and you toured quite a bit. Can you share a little bit with us about...
Yeah, I toured a little bit. She studied, like, double violin with me, and she studied music with me, and then at the time, I had a second double violin, so nobody has played the 2 double violins, so I was trying to have 2 double violins, and we toured some. And then I have also some other amazing like violinists like Lalita and Nandini, like in India. Actually, they are my nieces, my sisters' daughters,
wow.
And they play the double violin too. So sometimes I'm performing 3 double violins, which gives you incredible
overtones and all kinds of
And that I just wanted to mention that Ginger is an Indian singer and violinist, correct?
Yeah, she's a violinist, yeah.
Okay, nice.
And also, like, Mike Albert came and joined us, too. Like, Mike Albert is such a great guitarist from Megadeth.
And Mike Albert is a former guitarist from Megadeth. Yes, he was in the studio a couple of weeks ago.
He came to India, and he performed with me and Lalita and Nandini and, like, the Indian band. He's touring a lot with us, too. Mike Albert is coming, again, for Europe, and, like, we are going to India, Asia, Bali, all those kinds of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's such a great, incredible guitarist.
Absolutely amazing guitarist. And it was around this time you started venturing into film. And I know you mentioned a documentary that you worked on, Born into Brothels, and you actually performed it. You actually performed music for this documentary, and it was an Oscar-winning documentary. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, that was a great project. It was about the camera was given to the kids of women who were like prostitutes, not by choice because they had to support their family. Their husband has left them. They had no other way of supporting their kids. So it was a really touching documentary. And so I did music for that too. And many of these films, I never pursued them. They came to me, and I was usually basically a touring musician. So people who liked my sound or whatever I was doing, my vocal sound or different things. So they asked me, and that's how that happened too, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think this is very important for us to mention that you're very much involved in humanitarian work. It's very important. I know we talked about you work with Amnesty International, and you work to prevent human trafficking, particularly in China and Bali. And they actually kidnap people, and there's the sale of children. As well as you work for a cause that actually provides computers for kids. Can you share with us some of these wonderful humanitarian?
Amnesty International, we had a great tour with Bruce Springsteen, Sting, Peter Gabriel, myself, and a whole lot of other artists too, traveling all over the world, that dealt more specifically with causes in each country. And I have been always involved with different causes, especially for children and women, and have been involved in the last few years, like in China, Jakarta, I mean, like in Indonesia, Thailand, all these areas, lots of human trafficking. Many of these kids are kind of taken over when they are very young. The girls are.
And I know we were talking about that earlier, but out of curiosity, what got you into like even starting to begin to with these humanitarian and helping all sorts of these child trafficking or human trafficking? And like, what was your inspiration to do that? Because many artists with such skill and talent tend to usually go the opposite direction.
Actually, I saw it happening everywhere, kind of, from India to everywhere else. Mm-hmm. It happens even in America, too, because they really need a voice. I wanted to be a voice for somebody who doesn't have a voice.
Well, you mentioned that back in the 90s, and I think now you worked with Princess Diana Charity Foundation.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And that must have been absolutely amazing, because she was very much a humanitarian. And
she's incredibly amazing.
How was it working with her?
There was a few shows for the charity concerts, like in Albert Hall, like in England, whereas many of these big bands, you know, like Queen and Phil Collins, Elton John, Peter Gabriel, and Bee Gees, so many people will come and offer their time. Yeah. And so it's very nice that we can offer what we have as God has given talent to everybody. I don't think I'm not any extraordinary person at all. I'm an ordinary guy, you know, basically. But whatever talent you have, you have to kind of develop it. And by hard work, you get things, you know. So everybody's given a talent.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, like Josh said, you know, there's just people don't realize that artists like yourself, you're so busy all the time. You're touring, you're recording, you're out there doing your own things and running your life. And to take time out of your life to help people who really need it, who are out there and just... they just absolutely need that help. That's such a wonderful cause and a wonderful thing to do for those people.
Because many of these people have really inspired me on their music.
And so much. They are
because
very
of
much
their
inspiration.
Oh,
in
my
music.
God. They are my inspiration, yeah, really.
Wow, that's absolutely...
When somebody is down and out, you know, you can get some inspiration out of that. If you're doing really well and everything is positive, sometimes you don't get as much a message. You know? So many of these people have given tremendous... like inspiration for me, for my lyrics, for my music, for my emotion,
well,
to keep on going.
You know, we'll be back. We're going to talk about the 2004 film Passion of the Christ and your involvement in that. We understand that John Debney was scored the film.
Score the film, yeah, correct.
And you actually were a part of that as well.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we're going to go ahead and. Talk to you a little bit more about that. So you guys, please stay tuned. We have a very special guest, Shankar, here in the studio at Lancer Radio Network Studios.
And you could follow us live on facebook.com/Lancer Radio, twitter.com/PCC Lancer Radio, instagram.com/Lancer Radio. Thanks for having us. We'll be right back with you guys in just a few seconds. PCC Veterans Services strongly encourage all veterans to join the PCC Veterans Club. Statistics show that students who assimilate to campus life by developing associations with like-minded students have a higher degree of success. The PCC Veterans Resource Center offers benefits information, referrals, free tutoring, mentoring programs, and more. Join the PCC Veterans Club anytime in the Veterans Resource Center in Building W. The Pasadena City College Learning Assessment Center, in the partnership with Smart Thinking, is offering free online tutoring services to the students 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The service allows students to upload screenshots, pictures, or even PDF of a problem into a virtual whiteboard that can be assessed by both student and teacher. For more information about LAC's free online tutoring service, contact our GAFA Scott at 626-585-7530.
The Career Center is not just a place, but a team of caring people. Our mission is to assist you in finding the work that you love and were meant to do. From finding a part-time job in order to support yourself while you're in school, to finding an internship, or finding the major or career that is just right for you. We are here to help you clarify your dream, plan the steps, and learn the skills that will make it come true. For more information, check us out on the web at www.pasadena.edu, then select Student Services, then Career and Jobs. Or visit us in the L103 building. Our hours are 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Thursday, and 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday. We have a lot of resources to guide you on your journey, as well as many job opportunities. Stop by anytime. You are always welcome.
Student Health Services provides quality health and education services. Our friendly and knowledgeable staff offer a variety of specialties and extensive experience in student healthcare and are happy to assist students with their healthcare goals. In order to receive healthcare services, each student must present a current Lancer ID card or valid picture ID, be currently enrolled and attending classes at PCC. Services are available from the first day of the semester until the last day of the semester. Students who drop all their classes are no longer eligible. Health Services is located in D105 and their hours are Monday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Tuesdays, 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and Friday, 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For more information or to make an appointment, call 626-585-7244.
Streaming live on LancerRadio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds, this is PCC Voices. Listen, watch, and learn.
Welcome back to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Joshua Boni and Carlos Urebe. Joining us this afternoon, a music icon, scholar, and humanitarian, the Shankar. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Absolutely. We, and again, composer, conductor, producer, world-renowned vocal artist, and celebrated violinist Shankar is here with us live in Lancer Radio Network Studios. He's promoting his new electronic dance album, Transcend, featuring DJ Delisovich. Well, we were just listening to something about you from that album. And we're just wondering if you can tell us a little bit about the album that's coming out. It just released. We're the first to hear about it. You're hearing about it first here and live on Lancer Radio Network.
Yeah, correct. You're hearing for the first time here. It was released on September 24th, and it has like 10 tracks, all great. Like Delisovich is so talented, incredible musician and producer, composer, track maker, DJ. And we have known each other for a few years and working together.
So you've actually worked on other albums together, correct?
Yeah, we have worked together. We have collaborated on like tracks before on my last two previous albums, like Champion, which was the last EDM album released on 2014. And 2013, I worked on another EDM album, my solo album, Revelation. And a couple of his tracks are over there too, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you, as you mentioned, you actually, this is the fourth album that you've released, EDM album.
Yeah, fourth
correct?
Album, yeah, correct.
Wow. And you've collaborated with other musicians as well, right? Other DJs and musicians?
Yeah, a lot, yeah. A lot of DJs, yeah.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. And you were just listening to, again, that was something about you from that album. Before the break, we were talking with Shankar about a documentary that he was working on. And then in 2004, he receives a call from Mel Gibson, who was at the time directing The Passion of the Christ. The music was by John Debney. And Mel called you and said, Shankar, come on and work with me.
Actually, I didn't hear directly from Mel. I know he was looking for me, and I heard, then they got through to me, and he has already used, eventually he told me that he was using a lot of my vocals from The Last Temptation of Christ as a temp score for The Passion of the Christ version, his version. Then I worked with Mel in Los Angeles, creating all those vocal stuff, you know, writing my vocal stuff and recording them there, yeah.
Really? Wow. Yeah. So was, how was it like? How was the process? You mentioned you went to, was it Henson Studios at that time?
I was working a lot in Henson Studio, but I think we recorded this somewhere else, some other studio. And many of my files, many times I make them on Henson Studio, which is a great studio. And Mel is very, very, very passionate about his thing, and he's so. So committed to what he was doing, you know. So every day he was there and explaining me the stuff.
So, I mean, you know, there's something I wanted to ask you about. This was such a wonderful story, you know, that we talked about it. I asked you. I noticed that in the beginning of your career, you called yourself Shankar with an A,
correct.
And at some point you changed it to Shankar. And I wanted to share, our listening audience, for you to tell, to share that story with us. I thought that was an absolutely wonderful story.
I had like a Shankar, which was Shankar, which is like hundreds of them. It's a very common name, like John or Smith or things like that. And I am also into numerology. So actually I changed more than 10 years ago numerologically to Shankar, Shankar. And I like change anyway. You know, it was really nice, and very few... like in India, people have that spelling at all, no? Shankar's, it was... because a lot of the times, some of my works have been credited to the wrong people.
Right. Well, you know, and I thought also you mentioned numerology. Was that also... Can you share
that? That was the main thing, numerology. That was the reason I really wanted at the time where the planet was. I needed a total change. A lot of the people said, don't change. The business people, because you have released so many albums. So I have to start from zero again if people didn't know that name, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. So we move forward to 2006 and 2007, and you're asked to work on the TV series Heroes. And I know you mentioned you worked on opening credits and other things for all episodes. Can you share a little bit with us about that episode, how it's working on that film? I mean, on that television series.
At the time, actually, I was working a lot in Henson Studios, and I was working with Patrick Leonard, the incredible producer. He wrote all the hits for Madonna, so we did an album together. And at that time, the engineer, Michael Perfitt, incredible engineer, then he was working with Patrick, then he left to work with Wendy and Lisa, really amazing two incredible musicians, Lisa Coleman and Wendy Melvoin. They were from the band Prince, playing in the Purple Rain time in so many years, sure. No? Right. And so they were doing this thing. At that time, I didn't know what it was. The engineer told me, hey, can you come and do this stuff? And I went and did. One day I go there, so I write my vocal bits, and that became the theme, along with to the score of Lisa and Wendy's. And then I found out that was a TV series, and Heroes was on for like 4 years, and
yeah. For 57 episodes.
Yeah, 57 episodes. I lent my voice, all my voices in all the episodes.
Goodness.
And now they have restarted the same thing, Heroes Reborn, which started, I think, September 24th, last month. So that's a 13 episode miniseries, which is going on right now, and I'm involved with that too. And the original the composers for the scores are Lisa and Wendy.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, they just released, I believe it was 13 episodes in 2015. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Heroes series, it stars Santiago Cabrera as Isaac Mendez and Jack Coleman, who you may know from the 1980s primetime soap Dynasty, as Noah Bennett. Or Steve Carrington. I'm sorry, Steve Carrington. My apologies. Which brings us to your current project, your Transcend album that you are working on with DJ Delisevich. How did this project get started?
The project gets started over last year, but usually I'm always writing, you know, and so I've been working on this over a year, and many times I perform some of these songs. And performing these songs, because sometimes I have projects, because I perform a lot. Sometimes I've done shows with like Robert Trujillo from the Metallica, or the Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction, or different people. And I need songs sometimes, so I use my songs and test it out how it goes with the public. But the Transcend was already just released only last month.
Wow.
And I'm already working on my next album too.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. And you know, again, we're talking about these songs are just very, just wonderful pieces, and the music is very high energy. Right now, we're listening to, is I believe, Pain of Love? Is it Pain of Love? And let's listen to a little bit of that. Let's hear that. What was your inspiration for this song, this Pain of Love? Tell us about this song.
It's all about like destiny. Destiny is what we create, no? And we can change our destiny, no? So anything is possible, no? It's a very positive message. And so for the people who are going through a lot of these songs, for all kind of ages and people who are going through pain of love and different things, but there's always out there something else, no? If it's not happening, it's not the right thing.
And we've been kind of going through this. We went through Summertime in California, which is an absolute wonderful song. It just kind of talks about being in California in the summertime.
Yeah,
so it's very appropriate. It definitely describes that, you know, pain of love. We talked about pain of love, obviously, that the relationship between two.
Correct.
And all these songs, Count on Me, they just talk so much. They tell about stories about love and about discovering oneself spiritually and viewing oneself introspectively. And I think they're just absolutely wonderful. We have one more that we're going to be doing, which is called Imperfections. And this was one of my, they're all very wonderful. I really like this one myself. So let's listen to that. Let's see if we can hear that. Let's Thank you for joining us this afternoon on the Music Forum. We are host Carlos Uribe and Joshua Bonilla. Our distinguished guest this afternoon has touched people around the world with his musical spirituality and acts of kindness. His musical works has ushered in a new and exciting musical genre where East meets West, one which will endure for many generations to come. The release of his new electronic dance music album, Transcend, featuring DJ Delisevich, represents the newest chapter in a music career which has spanned 43 years and one that epitomizes musical genius in its most simple and complex forms, the music genius of Shankar. His Transcend album is available on iTunes, Beatport, and Spotify. Be sure to check him out on Facebook and check out more of his music, both past and present, on YouTube. We'd like to thank our listening audience for joining us on the Music Forum, and we remind you to tune in each and every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. You are listening to Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live 24/7 from the campus of Pasadena City College, LancerRadio.org.
Pasadena City College School of Visual, Media, and Performing Arts presents Lo and Behold, The Art of Carol Kairompas and Pierre Picot. Take Me There. Both shows run from October 7th, November 6th, 2015 in Bone Gallery and Gallery V.